The shock of British voters deciding to leave the European Union continues to ricochet through financial markets today, although the movements so far on this Monday are not quite as dramatic as Friday's. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In early trading, there was still a strong impulse to put money into government bonds for safekeeping. With demand so high, the yield on the government's 10-year note is down to 1.47%. Again, in early trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down more than 200 points, about 1.2%. The S&P 500 was down by a similar percentage. The pound was down about more than 3% to $1.32. Let's check in with market analyst Brenda Kelly in London. With Britain's finance minister spending the weekend trying to calm markets, I wondered if Ms. Kelly is feeling calm.
I suppose things could be worse, and I think financial markets are in a better place than, say, the British political at this moment in time. Nevertheless, I wouldn't say that stability has returned to these markets, with the pound plunging to, you know, multi-decade lows against the US dollar, the 10-year yield in the UK falling below 1% for the first time ever.
I was looking at share prices, still aversion to risk that's quite apparent, but I wouldn't say prices are in any kind of free fall here.
No, but it is only day two. You must bear that in mind. And you have to take this into context with the drops that we would have seen on Friday also. Certainly, it doesn't seem to have the broader contagion risk that we would have become accustomed to back during the great financial crisis. But it is early days. And I think some of the more immediately affected sectors, like house builders, airline stocks, banks, as I said already, are, you know, really suffering and manifesting what the actual problems of Brexit will actually hold.
All right. Well, we'll keep watching. Brenda Kelly, market analyst based in London. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Kelly mentioned drops in banking stocks in Europe. Today, corporate lawyers are questioning whether banks headquartered in London would have the right to sell financial products elsewhere in the EU. Some are considering moving to places like Frankfurt, Paris, or Dublin now. Here's another industry whipsawed by Brexit. Automotive car sales in the UK are expected to slide amid economic uncertainty and currency fluctuations. And U.S., European, and Asian automakers that have British operations may pull back or move production. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
The UK auto market has been on a roll for several years. More than 2.6 million new cars were registered last year, a new record, and the trends continued this year. But IHS automotive analyst Ian Fletcher predicts next year sales will fall as uncertain consumers and businesses hesitate to make big purchases.
We were already expecting it to fall back, but now we're expected to fall back by around 8.5%. So not an inconsiderable amount, given the size of the market.
The longer-term forecast depends a lot on how trade negotiations play out and how the UK and European economies hold up. Jeff Schuster is an analyst with LMC Automotive.
If it does send the European Union into a downturn, we could be looking at 500,000 units of volume coming out of the UK alone from a demand standpoint. That's about 15%.
A downturn wouldn't just hurt European automakers. U.S.-based Ford is the top-selling brand in the U.K. and has about 14,000 employees there. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Now for the roads forward in Europe, let's turn to a longtime observer of the European Union's grand experiment. Mark Blyth is a professor of political economy at Brown University. We reached him via Skype in Providence, Rhode Island. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you've spent years thinking about challenges for the Europeans' less than perfect union. Do you think the new centripetal force will cause Europe to fly apart?
There are certainly forces at work who would like that to happen. It's also certainly a big wake-up call for the bustled bureaucracy that business as usual, simply forcing people to accept the euro and accept the policies that go with it, is no longer going to be possible going forward. But what Europe lacks is leadership. At this moment in time, it's not clear that Brussels can reform itself in a meaningful way to make the euro more complete and Europe more democratic and responsive. So while everyone acknowledges the need, the leadership that's needed to get us to that point to do something about it. That's what I'm worried about.
There are models here, right? Norway, not a member of the EU, they still get to play. Switzerland also has a special deal. I guess that's what the UK is going to try here.
Yeah, but there's almost an analogy to Greece here. So the problem with Greece last summer, when Greece was the big thing, when it was Grexit, is the problem of redenomination. When you use somebody else's money and you basically say, we're out, we need to have new money, how do you get new money overnight? It's an incredibly complex thing to do. And what's happened with Britain is something similar. Okay, we don't like the EU anymore. We want out. We want control over our own sovereignty. Okay, now let's think about all the entanglements. Let's think about science and university funding. Let's think about travel. Let's think about the border with Ireland. You're going to remilitarize the border with the six counties while Ireland remains in. What happens to the so-called passporting arrangements of British banks operating in Europe? Suddenly you have 100 different things, all of which are really complex, all of which have come up which no one has really thought out.
So this is more than a new lecture. This is more than a new journal article. Political scientists have to write a new book here.
Well, it could be the case that after 30 years of scholars writing all these weighty tomes about the process of European integration, this might start the process of European disintegration. But I hope not, for one simple reason. As we've already seen in Britain blowing up on Twitter feeds and appearing on walls in communities, racism, nationalism and xenophobia is back. People are being told to go home and get out, regardless of the fact that they were born in Wales or they emigrated from Latvia 10 years ago. That's the ugly side to disintegration. There's a reason that integration has a positive connotation and disintegration doesn't. So let's hope we don't have to write that book. The last time Europe disintegrated, it was really bad all round.
Indeed. Mark Blythe is a professor of political economy at the Watson Institute at Brown University. Professor, thank you.
My pleasure.
We've also been hearing from folks wondering about how Britain exiting could affect their own personal economies. Our sibling program, Marketplace Weekend, with Lizzie O'Leary, is answering your questions about this financial shock as it applies to retirement, college savings, business planning, really anything you want to know where we can help. We're here to help. Twitter at Marketplace or on Facebook.com/MarketplaceAPM. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.